You know, we had two sermons last month on forgiveness, and really it wasn't my intention to have a third one here in September. But I must admit, this past week, listening to the radio and news statements, and I even got caught up one day in talk radio about September 11th, Lord touched my heart. Please pray with me. Father, protect me from me and hide me behind the cross. May the words that I speak this morning and the thoughts that we together share be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. You know, it's hard to believe that this year is the 11th anniversary of that tragic event that we simply know by its date. Say 9/11 and we all know what we mean. As you remember, on September 11th in 2001, 19 members of the terrorist group Al-Qaeda hijacked four commercial airliners. They intentionally crashed two of them into the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center and killed everybody on board. One of the people that worked next to me at Procter & Gamble in the cube right across from me, her brother, was on that plane. Both buildings collapsed within 2 hours, destroying nearby buildings and claiming nearly 3,000 lives. Hijackers crashed a third airliner near into the Pentagon in Arlington, Virginia, and that's just outside of Washington, D.C. And the fourth plane, as you will remember, crashed in a field near Shanksville in Pennsylvania, but only after many of the crew and the hijackers had fought the hijackers to take control of the plane. They believed that that plane was directed to the White House. There were no survivors on any of the flights. And I know many of you, like I was glued to the television sets that morning, and we saw the collapse of the World Trade Centers, and it's a sight that many of us will never forget. September 11th, for many of us Americans, is a day very similar to the day that President Kennedy was shot. How many of you remember where you were on that day? For those not quite as long in tooth as I am, how many of you remember when Neil Armstrong first set foot on the moon and where you were? Those memories have been etched into our memories, and we can't let them go. And this day, 9/11, that we had last week on Tuesday, has actually become a very difficult day for the citizens of this country. Included among those 3,000 lives that were lost, there were 836 responders, firefighters, and police personnel who had come to the rescue of those in those attacks who also died. The overwhelming majority of casualties in all four attacks were civilians, including nationals of over 79 countries. But coming out of that, there were many, many stories of incredible courage that came out of this event. And one that has touched me the most is the story of Jeremy Glick. And I don't know if many of you remember this. I hope so. He was a passenger on United Flight 93. Jeremy was a sales and marketing executive of an internet company and a former national judo champion. He had recently become married and become a proud father of a beautiful 3-month-old daughter. He didn't want to fly away that day on Flight 93. It was his first business trip since his daughter had been born, and he just had trouble leaving. However, it was an important conference in San Francisco, and his wife, Elizabeth, urged him to go. Quit worrying about her or their daughter. He planned to fly out the previous day, but he got stuck in traffic on the way to Newark, so he rebooked for the following morning. Not long after the flight was underway, Jeremy called Elizabeth, called her on a cell phone to report that five hijackers had taken over the plane. She told him about the other plane crashes into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. Jeremy and several other passengers got together and decided that they had to do something. We all presume that those passengers managed to carry out their intention because that flight was the only flight of the four that hijacked planes that took no casualties on the ground. A group of passengers literally gave their lives to save the lives of people that they didn't even know. What I'm really impressed with Jeremy is what he told Liz during the 20 minutes that they were able to talk before the plane finally went down. Interviewed on Dateline, Elizabeth Glick shared the essence of that conversation, and she said, "We told each other 1,000 times and 1,000 times again that I love you." And she said, "It brought both of us such peace. He told me I love Emmy and to take care of her. And he said, whatever decision you make in your life, I want you to be happy. And I will respect any decision that you make." That's what he said. And that's what gives me the most comfort. He sounded strong. He didn't sound panicked. He was very clear-headed. He said that Christ was holding his hand. A widow at 31, Liz says that she's really not angry. She doesn't have any real regrets. "I don't feel like there are things left undone with my relationship with Jeremy," she says. "We did it all. And I don't feel that I've left anything out of my relationship that I had with him." "I don't think many people who are so young can say that," she told her interviewer. "I want to say again that I think 9/11 is still very difficult for our country. But also I want to say that I think it's very particularly difficult for Christians. And it is either ironic or providential, depending on your theology, that our lesson from our gospel today begins like this. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother? Up to 7 times? Now, I want you to recognize that 7 was an extremely extravagant number for Peter. The Jewish tradition at that time said that you should forgive once, maybe twice, but never no more than 3 times. And here's Peter extravagantly doubling that number, said, "Am I to forgive even 7 times? That's so outside of the culture at that time that that was amazing. And how does Jesus answer? "I tell you, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. And that wasn't meant to be an exact number for us. That was a number so huge that Peter and others couldn't begin to comprehend it. It was an obscure number, like a gazillion quadrillion. You can't think of that. That's what it was meant to be. You know, I think it's an interesting lesson for this day, don't you? I mean, after all, the ultimate lesson in all of Scripture is on the subject of forgiveness. And when it comes to 9/11, forgiveness is one of the last things that many in this nation want to do. The day after September 11th, on the 12th, Bishop William Williman, many of y'all know him, Bishop Williman saw a couple being interviewed on the news, and they were standing on the street in downtown New York before the wreckage of Ground Zero, as close as they could get to it. And they were obviously in great grief. And we all cringe when we have reporters that want to come to these people in these very private times and ask them questions. Their daughter had worked in one of the trade centers, in one of the towers, and through tears they shared their grief with that reporter. The reporter, kind of actually getting caught up himself, stammered to them, said, "Well, I know that you'll be able to go to your place of worship this weekend, and there maybe you can find some consolation in your faith." And the grieving mother, being extremely honest, said, "No, we will not be going to our place of worship. We're Christians. We know that Jesus commands us to forgive, and frankly, I can't do that. It's going to be some time before I can sit with Jesus." What a powerful story. and we can all sympathize and have empathy with that mother. Jesus tells us to forgive our enemies, and of course, being human, the people who are responsible for this crime are the last people on earth that we want to forgive. But you know what? We who follow Jesus don't have that luxury. You know, there's an epitaph in a cemetery in Atlanta that a woman had inscribed on her tomb of her adulterous husband, and the epitaph said, "Gone, but not forgiven." Many of us can relate to that emotion. But C.S. Lewis, that great Christian writer, I hope you're all familiar with C.S. Lewis. He made an important distinction between excusing and forgiving. He said, "If someone jostles me accidentally and I drop my books, I excuse that because it didn't hurt me much and it was unintentional. But if a person does something to injure me or my family, and that hurt will go on hurting for years, I can't excuse it. I have only the option of forgiving or not forgiving." Forgiveness is not easy. And yet forgiving can take, and yet not forgiving can take an even greater toll on us than forgiving ever could. David Zerson, the author of The Upside of Anger, tells about this story in this movie. He says, Joan Allen in this movie plays the role of Terry, an angry wife, an angry housewife. And they have four daughters. She's angry because she believes her husband has run off with his secretary and they're living in Sweden. And as the plot unfolds, the viewer kind of becomes very involved in the relationship with the four daughters. And all these relationships are very complicated and frankly very dysfunctional because of the rage that Terry holds on against her husband. She takes some satisfaction in finally learning that her four daughters are saying, "We hate him too." And the story gets complicated as Terry becomes involved with a man by the name of Denny. And he finally moves in with them and they get in a relationship and he begins to experience this brunt of this anger that's being thrown at her past husband. At the end of the movie, Denny is exploring acreage in the back of the house for a new subdivision that's going to be built. And the workers there uncover an old well. What do you think they find inside? Terry's husband. He didn't go to Sweden. He apparently fell in that well and drowned while he was walking with his dog. So the infidelity never happened except in her mind. But because she imagined that did happen and because she couldn't let it go, she lived with those immense feelings for the rest of her life. You know, it's a sad, sad story. Even if her husband had betrayed her and abandoned her, surely forgiveness would have been a much healthier response for everyone that's concerned than a lifetime of anger and resentment. Those two emotions, anger and resentment, can take a tremendous toll. Dr. Scott Peck, many of you know him as the author, The Road Less Traveled. He says that unless we are able to at least move toward the work of forgiving the person who hurt us, even if that person doesn't deserve forgiveness, we cannot have mental health. Forgiveness is not easy, and yet not forgiving inflicts a worse toll on us than forgiving ever could. Forgiving is not easy. Ask God. Forgiveness is what the cross is all about. On Golgotha, God forgave the sins of the world through the suffering of Jesus Christ. The forgiveness that we grant others is built on what God in Christ did for us. Now, having told the parable that Jesus said about the servant and the master, Jesus is basically saying, this is how my Father will treat each of you unless you forgive. This is the teaching of our faith that separates us from all other faiths in the world, that we are to forgive because we have been forgiven. We are to forgive even our enemies. And why? Because God has also forgiven us. God gave His only Son. We are in turn to forgive those who have sinned against us. You see now why I say that 9/11 is extremely a difficult day for us as Christians. The couple said they would not be in worship that next Sunday. They weren't going to be there because they knew what Jesus would be requiring. And frankly, I think they were making one of the most honest professions of faith that I can imagine. They understood the depth of what Christ was requiring, and they said, I can't do it right now. Forgiveness is hard. Forgiveness cost God His only Son. And that brings us to the final thing that I want to say this morning. Forgiveness is only possible because of God's grace. If someone has hurt you and hurt you deeply, forgiveness is possible only if you offer your hurt to God. And sometimes there are circumstances where it just feels like that's not humanly possible. One theologian put it this way: we who follow Christ are always being commanded to do things that we cannot do. We are commanded to love those who are not lovable. We're called to serve without counting the cost. But the hardest commandment is the commandment to forgive. We are bidden to do it, not because it's humanly possible, because as we try to do what God commands us to do, the ability to do it is given to us by God. You know, a man who has shown the capacity to forgive is Nelson Mandela of South Africa. Pastor Tony Campolo had a friend who knows Mandela quite well, and one day that friend asked Mandela about his ability to forgive, and he said, Mr. Mandela, when you were released from prison, when you were led of that cell block, you marched across the yard to the gates of that prison. Now, I got my daughter up in the middle of the night to see the scene, and as you were marching across that courtyard, the camera zeroed in on your face, and I'll never forget it, because it was a face that was full of anger and hatred and animosity. I've never seen so much anger and so much hatred written on a person's face. But that's not the Nelson Mandela that I know today. And Mandela said, you know, it's interesting that you should say this, because when I left the prison block and marched across that courtyard, I thought, they're letting me go, but everything that is important to me has been taken. My cause is dead. He didn't know that it wasn't dead. He had been kept in solitary confinement. He didn't know that he had become a folk hero. He knew that his wife had been taken from him. He felt his friends had been put to death. Everything and everybody that meant something to him, he thought, was gone. But Nelson Mandela then remembered this. And please, listen. What Jesus said about forgiveness, and God spoke to me and said, Nelson, for 27 years you were their prisoner, but you were always a free man. Don't let them turn you into a free man only to make you their prisoner. And I realized the importance of forgiveness. He's right. We must forgive. Not just because of what anger and resentment can do to us personally, because forgiveness comes from the heart of God. We forgive because of the immensity of God's forgiveness towards us. So 9/11 is a difficult day, and that commandment is an extremely difficult one. I don't know if you remember the movie or the play Godspell. In 1971, a Stephen Schwartz opened a Broadway called Godspell. I hope y'all remember some of the songs. One of the songs made it to number 13 on the Billboard charts. Anybody remember what that was? I still like it a lot. It's a good summary, I believe, of faith like a child that we see when we sing Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. And the song's called Day by Day. Oh, dear Lord, three things I pray to see Thee more clearly, to love Thee more dearly, to follow Thee more nearly, day by day. Every day, day by day, there is an opportunity for us as Christians to encounter the power of the living Lord in our midst. Every day, day by day, there is no greater message that we can offer to the rest of the world, to our neighbors, to our families, than this one. To see Jesus more clearly, to love Him more dearly, to follow Him more nearly, day by day. The church is a hospital for sinners. We forgive because we need to forgive. We forgive because that is our witness. Indeed, the world has never been more in need of Christians who bear witness to forgiveness. And we forgive because that is the heart of the gospel. God proves His love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That, brothers and sisters, we can preach to the world. That is how we follow Jesus in the days and years after 9/11. Amen and amen. Let us pray. Oh, loving God, we thank You and we praise You. We praise You for the presence deep in our hearts and for Your presence in our midst. And for this opportunity to come together to worship You, to hear Your word, we celebrate Your love for us. Refresh our spirits. Confirm and strengthen our vision. Bless us, embrace us, and renew us. Day by day. Amen.